We've been in a series for several weeks called The God Story. And we've looked at sort of the big picture of what God has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do in the future. Sort of the four main themes in Scripture. And we saw first how God created everything. He created you and me. He created everything perfect. He created us perfect and in his image. And we also saw that we messed that up. We sinned against God. We fell dead in the garden. But we saw that God, out of his love and out of his grace, he didn't wipe us off the planet, but instead he decided to send his son Jesus to redeem us. And then we saw that at the end, God is going to make everything new. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So that's the God story. That's this huge thing that God has done, he is doing, and he is going to do. That's what we call the God story. Now, we've seen that big story, but there's also a lot of other stories in this room. In fact, there's around 50 little stories in this room. We have this huge God story, but you also have your own story. And it started at your birth, day one. That was the first line. You know, you were born, so-and-so hospital, so-and-so time. And from that moment on, you have been writing your life story. And what I'm going to challenge you to do tonight is to trade your star role in your little story for just a background part in the big story of God. That's what I'm going to try to compel you to do tonight. Look with me in Mark chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one underneath your chair. Mark chapter 8, and we're going to look in verses 34 through verses 38. The Word of God says this: "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" You guys may be seated. Here you have Jesus, and he's got this huge crowd that's following him. Now, the reason they follow him is because if you read through the Gospels, Jesus does some pretty cool stuff. He's healing people, raising people from the dead. He's doing miracles. He's walking on water. He's has control of the weather. He's calming the storms. I mean, Jesus is doing some pretty crazy stuff. So you've got this crowd that's following after Jesus, and they're wanting to be his disciples. So Jesus, looking at this crowd, say, you're the crowd. He looks at you guys and he says, hey, if you want to follow me, here's what you must do. Number one, you must deny yourself. Now, that's sort of a trigger word for me, at least, because I don't like to deny myself. I don't know how many of you guys love denying yourself, but I like to indulge myself. I'm trying to watch what I eat. I've been doing the Jared Subway diet for 2 days. I can probably tell, looking buff. But I'm on my 2-day diet, and tonight the ladies were talking about the meal they're cooking, and they said, guess what? We've got banana split tonight. And I was like, I love ice cream, and I love bananas, and banana split's just amazing. So I'm thinking the whole time, I can't eat that. I'm on my diet. You know, this would just wreck it on day two, train wreck, you know. So I go through the line, and then I see the banana split, and it's like, deny yourself. Deny yourself. And then what I do, I grab it and I take it to my plate. And literally I take one bite of taco salad and I just push it to the side and dive into this banana split. It was so good. Why? Because I love to indulge myself. I mean, when I want something, I'm going to go for it. I don't like denying myself. But the first thing Jesus says, if you're going to be a follower of mine, you've got to deny yourself. In other words, it's not your life isn't going to be just about what you want to do and when you want to do it. But it's about denying yourself in order to fulfill what I want you to do. You're going to live for me now. So the first thing he says is deny yourself. Second, he says, take up your cross. Now, to us, that's no longer a trigger word, because when we think of cross, we think of this great symbol. You know, it's our Christian symbol. We think of jewelry. Some of you guys might have earrings on or necklaces with a cross on. It's a good symbol to us. But to them, it would have been very offensive for Jesus to say that. Because what he's saying is, if you're going to follow me, you've got to execute yourself. And that just doesn't sound good. It'd be like if Jesus came in this room in our culture, he would say this: if you're going to follow me, you must first deny yourself. Second, you must crawl into an electric chair, strap yourself in, pull the switch, and fry your brains out. That's a little bit more of a trigger to us, right? What, Jesus? You want us to do what? That's what a cross stood for back then. And it was so much worse than an electric chair. It was one of the most excruciating deaths known to man, and it was only reserved for criminals who have done heinous crimes. So Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to execute yourself. Now, he was not talking physically, go up on a cross and die. But he said, for every intent and purpose, your life ends at the moment you come and follow me. In other words, you're not in control anymore. You're not the star of your life anymore. But this life is about me now. It's about King Jesus. So he says, deny yourself, take up your cross. And then he says, follow me. In other words, you're not the leader anymore. Now, this is hard for me because I'm a leader type guy. Like, I don't know if you have groups in school. When we formed a group, it's like, okay, I'm the leader. Let's go. You know, it's like, don't even ask questions. It's not a vote. I'm the leader. Listen to me. Follow me. Here's what we're going to do. I'm a leader. Okay? And here Jesus says, Corey, you're not the leader anymore. I am the leader. And you must follow me. Here's what I think Jesus is saying in a nutshell. He looks at this crowd. He knows they all have a life. They all have a story. They all have occupations. They have aspirations. They have dreams. They have, you know, probably a family. They have kids. And he's saying this: if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to trade the star role of your little story, and you're going to have to take a backseat role in my big story. You see, in your story, you are the star, right? From birth, we believe this world's about me. It's about what I want to do, where I want to go to school, the job I'm going to get, the money I'm going to make, the house I'm going to buy, the family I'm going to raise. It's all about me. It's all about your story, and you are the star. But Jesus says, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, guess what? That ends, because your story is no longer primarily about you, but it's about me. So here's what I want to compel you guys to do, is to trade your star role of your little story for just a backseat part in the big story of God. Now, why in the world would you want to do that? That's a question I want to think through. I mean, if you're the star of your story, then why in the world would you want to go from being the star to some backseat person in the cast somewhere? Why would you want to do that? Well, I think this is the reason. Because the God story is that much greater than your little story. I want to try to illustrate it like this. Suppose you want to make a movie. And this is what we call a basement movie. I don't know if you guys have ever done this when you're growing up. My wife loved to do this, and I've seen all of her basement movies. And what that means is her and her brother Logan decided, hey, we're going to be a news anchor team. I wish I had the video I would show you guys. I'm going to bring this. They're the news anchor team, and, you know, Katie and Logan, they're the stars of this little movie in their basement. They've got the tripod set up. Home video camera. Katie probably goes and pushes play, gets back there, and she's like, I'm Katie, you know, and does this whole thing, and she is the star. And then Logan comes, and he is the other star of their little movie, and it's all about them, and it's glamorous. Now, imagine this. If you have your little basement movie, okay, and you've written the part, you're living it just like you want to do. Man, this is all about you. You are the star. Now imagine, while you're filming this, a real Hollywood director came into your basement. and said this to you. Girls, said, we're going to tape the next High School Musical, and we want you to have a part in it. It's not going to be a big part, okay? When all the, you know, guys and girls get out on the gym floor and they do their little dance and all that stuff, there's going to be one clip where they're going to throw you up and there's going to be a camera shot for 5 seconds on you. 5 second part. It's not, nobody's going to know your name. Nobody's going to really remember you, but you're going to be in this Hollywood movie, okay? Now for you guys, they're like, okay, we're going to tape, you know, Iron Man 3 or Braveheart 2, you know, some guy movie, or Taken, you know, we're going to film Taken again, and we're going to put it on the big screen, and you are going to play a part, okay? And it's going to be a part that you're going to die. That's what us guys want to do, you know, you're going to, you know, ride in behind Braveheart and a horse, and you're going to get an arrow, you know, shot through you. That's going to be your part. It's going to be a 5 second clip, you're going to be on there, and then it's going to be over. But it's going to be a Hollywood movie. This thing is going to be shown all around the world. And it will be one of the biggest blockbusters ever. I mean, this thing's beating Titanic by far. Now, think about that scenario. How many of you guys would be willing to turn off the home video camera and forget your star role in your little basement movie for an opportunity to be in a Hollywood movie, even if the part is small? How many guys would be willing to trade that? Yeah, all of us. Why? I mean, you're going from being the star to being somebody in the background, somebody that doesn't even matter. Why would you want to trade that? Because the part is so much bigger, because the story is so much bigger, right? The Hollywood movie is that much bigger than your little home movie. And that's what I'm trying to compel you guys to do. Is, man, think about that compared to the kingdom of God. Think about your life compared to living a life for King Jesus. Man, you know what James says about our life? He says it's like a vapor. It's like it's here and it's gone. So here's what Jesus is saying. Hey guys, you have a star role in a little vapor story. It's going to be like this. And Jesus is telling this crowd, hey guys, I want you to trade your star role in your little vapor story for a small part in my eternal story. My God story, the one that lasts forever. You see what Jesus is challenging us to do? To quit being the star, but instead to make him the star. To make the cameras go to him. To draw attention to him. Because, man, his story is so much bigger than our story. And then he says, you know, even if you gain the whole world. Think about that. In your little vapor story, imagine if you gained the whole world. It was yours. You were king of the world. He says even that, it wouldn't be worth it when it comes to the end, because you would have to forfeit your soul. And then when it comes to your eternal soul, it's way more valuable than everything on planet Earth. So man, my challenge for you, if you're an unbeliever, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, man, why not trade your life for his? Why not trade your little story for his big story? Because yours is just a vapor. His lasts for eternity. Man, it's a good trade. So, maybe some of you guys have already made that trade. You've already come to Jesus. You've given him your life. And you've said, King Jesus, you're in control. My life's about bringing glory to you now. If that's you, then what are you doing right now in the story of God? I mean, if you're saying, okay, Corey, I've got a small role in the story of God, then how are you playing that role out? Because how we learned a few weeks ago, God right now is working out redemption. God is saving people right now. That's what part of the story we're in right now. We're in the story of redemption, where God is redeeming people. So if you're saying, okay, Corey, I'm in the story of God, and God's story right now is about saving people, then what should you be doing? What should you be passionate about? Redemption. Seeing people come to Christ. I mean, if we are in the God story, and the God story is saving people, then we also should be passionate about seeing people come to Christ. Because I really believe that God is moving in Callaway County High School, in Murray High School, in Marshall High School, in Christian Fellowship, in all the Christian schools, and even in the homeschools. God is working redemption. In Graves County, God is working redemption. Why? Because that's His story right now. He is saving people. If He wasn't, we wouldn't be here. So if God is saving people, and He's saving people in your school, and you're living for Him, then what should you be passionate about? Seeing His work done. So what does that call us to do as believers? As those of us who have traded our star role, our little story, for a part in the big story of God, it means that we become passionate about seeing our friends come to Christ. We should be passionate about sharing the gospel, because there's people in your school who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Yet they've been around religion, because it's all around in Western Kentucky, but they've never really heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And how are they going to know it unless someone tells them? And how is somebody going to tell them unless you guys tell them? Because you guys are the ones that are in the God story. You guys are the ones that God has entrusted with His message to go and take it to your friends. So I want you guys to start thinking through this. How can in homeroom, how can the person that I'm sitting by come to know the gospel? How can on my basketball team, all the basketball players come to know the gospel? Through my life, because I'm living different, I'm living holy and set apart to God, but also because I'm bold and sharing with them the good news of Jesus. Man, that's what the God story is about. That's what we should be about. And you know what Jesus says in this text? He says, man, if you guys are going to be ashamed of me in this sinful generation, guess what? I'm going to be ashamed of you when I come with my Father and the angels. In other words, Jesus saying, if you are ashamed of me, then you probably don't know me. And in the end, when I come back, and you have this good religious system, but you've been hiding it from everyone you know because you don't want them to find out, Jesus is saying, I'm going to be ashamed of you. I'm going to act like I don't know you because you have acted like you don't know me. So, man, here's my challenge for you guys. Man, if you're a believer, if you have entered into the God story, and the God story is about redemption now, my challenge to you guys is to figure out how you can be a part of that story. To figure out how you can impact people in your school with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God right now is saving people. And He might just use you to share a word, to share Christ with somebody. And then through that word and through His Holy Spirit, man, bring them into the kingdom of God. Make them a brother. Make them a sister. That's what God's doing. He's working out redemption right now. So my two challenges are this. Number one, if you're an unbeliever, if you're still holding on to your star role in this little story, I would compel you to come to Christ. Man, He says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He says, man, chuck that star role you have and come to me. Come and make your life about me, because my story is so much bigger. My story lasts for eternity. That's my challenge to you if you're an unbeliever. And if you're a believer, my challenge is this. Let's get serious about the God story. Let's get serious about redemption. Because, man, there's people in our schools that if they die, man, they're going to go to hell because they don't know the gospel. One of my friends at 18 lost his life as an unbeliever. Totally lost. And he's been spending the last 6-7 years in hell. And I never shared the gospel with him. I never told him about Jesus. And it's over for him. Man, how many of your friends tomorrow might be their last day? Might be the last day for all of us. Let's be passionate about this God story. Let's be passionate about sharing the gospel with our friends, because we never know, man, we won't get another opportunity. And let's make our small part about magnifying his name, about telling people about him, because that's what the God story is about. It's about redemption. God loving sinners, God dying for sinners, drawing them to himself and making them new, bringing them into the kingdom so they can live with King Jesus forever. That's my challenge. If you have your little story, trade it for the God story. If you're in the God story, then start living it out. Start being passionate about redemption. Start telling those around you about the wonderful Savior that you now know. Let's go for the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the challenge of Jesus here. And God, I pray that if any student in this room, God, they're not a believer, they haven't given their life to you, they haven't denied them their self, and they haven't taken up their cross, and they aren't following you, God, I pray that they would do that. God, if anyone is under conviction from the Holy Spirit, God, why I'm praying right now, if they would come forward, one of our counselors will come to them, will talk with them, share with them, God, and help them as you deal with them. And God, I pray right now for us as believers. I pray that we would stop playing games. And God, I pray that we would become passionate about sharing your gospel. And God, I want to be the first to confess my own sin of not sharing your gospel enough. God, burden me for the lost. Burden me to be passionate about redemption, so that God, my whole life is about seeing people come to know you. Because my whole life is about you and about your kingdom and about your big story. God, help us tomorrow morning to look for opportunities to share your gospel with our friends and with our family. And Jesus, it's in your good name we pray. Amen.